Texas History 413, Summer Class 1973, Texas A&I University, Kingsville, Texas. Dr. Colson, instructor, Henrietta Collins, student. I selected Yoakum, Texas for my oral report. I interviewed W.T. Browning, who is now 89 years of age. William T. Browning was born in Seymour Belly County, Texas, January 25, 1884. Mr. Browning came to Yoakum in February 1912, where he established the W.T. Browning Clothier Store. Mr. Browning stated that the most rewarding thing in his life was when he married Ophrah Elkins, February 5, 1914. There were two children born to this family, one girl, Catherine, one boy, William E. Browning. Mr. Browning retired after selling the store in December 1954, to which is now Kay Willen's department store. Mr. Browning states that the he is living by a philosophy. The used key is always the brightest. This applies to physically, culturally, morally, spiritually, and in every facet of life. And now, the history of yoga.
It was founded in 1887 by B.F. Yoakum and Isaiah Rock, who built the San Antonio and Aransas Pass Railroad from San Antonio to Aransas Pass, Corpus Christi, the Rio Grande Valley, to a connection with the Tex-Mex rail lines which ran into Mexico. Also, lines were run to Houston, Waco, Kerrville.
Corpus Christi,
nothing less than 25,000. At this time, there were some 1,000 employees of the railroad who were attached to the Yoakum unit. The farming section also developed tremendously. Yoakum was located on the line of both DeWitt and Lavaca counties. Quero, the county seat of DeWitt County, and Hallettsville, the county seat of Lavaca County, each about 18 miles from Yoakum. At that time, there were two counties. That time, these two counties were producing 30 to 50,000 bales of cotton each. Yoakum had six cotton gins, a cotton seed oil mill, a cotton compress, and various other industries. The SAAP railway was from the beginning a thorn in the flesh of the Southern Pacific Railway. The SP attempted to control the South by acquiring the bonds of the South. The Texas legislature prevented this by making it unlawful for a railroad to operate a competing line. There remained fear in the minds of the Yoakum people that the SP might be successful in taking over the South. The Yoakum Chamber of Commerce set up a program to meet this possible situation. Among the projects were the following: the Bull Circle, to improve and expand the cattle industry; the dairy and poultry section of dairy and poultry projects; developed and resulted in the location of the Swift Building and Produce Plant. In 1925, the Interstate Commerce Commission granted the SP the right to integrate the SAP facilities into the SP system. This threw the Chamber of Commerce program into high gear. Pressure was put on the previous projects, and others were added. The highway program was a must. This committee was appointed and worked out with the State Highway Commission. The program covering the area Hollisville through Yoakum to Quero, Hollisville through Hope to Victoria, Yoakum through Hope to Etna. You're not recording on the engineer's office, number 13, which includes 9 counties, highways. Division 13, Yoakum, facilities, is among the 3 most modern installations of the 25 in the state. Established at a cost of more than $1 million. It employs upwards toward 200 people that live in Yoakum. And over 500 employees in the adjoining 9 counties. There have been many industries established in Yoakum, including 2 modern packing plants. The fear of the Yoakum people about the SNAP being absolved by the Southern Pacific was with firm foundation. The integration in 1925 was followed through 1932. one of the bankruptcies was Textan, the leather products. This was reorganized and integrated into the Tandy Corporation, which now employs some 1,500 people in this area, 1,000 of which are attached to the Yokum unit. Yokum now has two strong banks with the deposits of some $22 million or more. Now that was begun in 1926, and it was proving a success. And so in 1928, there was organized a celebration, which they call the Tom Tom, which was carried on year by year until 1973. The name was changed to include the leather industries. Now, during that time, Yokum has developed into what they are proud to call the leather capital of the Southwest. As stated above, the Tandy Corporation employs 1,500 people in this area, 1,000 of which are attached to the open unit, and the others are attached to units established at Hallettsville, Gonzales, Quero, Yorktown, and Motor. Also, there has developed in the industry the Circle Y Corporation, founded by Tex Thompson, a former salesman connected with the Tandy Corporation. And it has established production units and has traveled men, traveled salesmen, as Tandy also traveled salesmen in every state of the Union, and some connections in Mexico and South America. So, in order to save that business, it was decided that it would have to expand its trade territory. It did this by the introduction and distribution of a 68-page catalog, which was placed in every home within a radius of 50 to 75 miles of Yokum. shots that the mail order houses were using in their catalogs as an example. He put a hot shot in every department, in the notion department. He put a 10-cent handkerchief for 5 cents with no limit. He put an overall and a khaki pants and a blue shirt with the competitive price in the mail order catalogs. In fact, he did. 30 or 40 years ago, just what the discount houses are doing today. And in doing so, he found that in the issuance of that catalog, the first mail orders that he got were for a dozen of those nickel handkerchiefs, for which he had paid 75 cents a dozen and had to go direct to the mill and buy quantities of 300 to 500 dozen in order to save freight and to get the low cost. And the shoes that he offered, the work shoes that he offered, at $2.98, cost him $2.90 plus the freight, and had to be bought in 50 dozen quantities. And as he stated before, the first mail orders he received was for those hotshot, non-profit, oil horse items. But this was generally followed by the head of that family coming in with three or four boys to fit them with clothing. And on one occasion, he received, after mailing this catalog in August to, I've cut it off, but it's $271 selected from that catalog. And 10 days later, his father came in with three or four boys and bought $300 more of merchandise. Now, when you were talking about mail orders of that size and bills of that size in a town the size of Yokum, you're not dealing in chicken feed. You're in business. Now, Mr. Browning states that he was able to take his store out of the red ink and put it in the black. And he was able to more than double, and all, and say treble his sales as compared with the best that he had ever had in Yorkham before he issued the catalog. So he is very proud to say that he saved the Browning business. for that method. Now, let's see where you want to go. Where do you want? I decided to liquidate the Browning store, as I didn't think that my wife could run it or liquidate it advantageously in the event of my becoming disabled. So, in 1954, I set out to liquidate that store. I couldn't find any firm that wanted to operate a men's clothing store. I couldn't find any firm that wanted to operate a men's clothing store in a town the size of Yokel. And so it was left to me then to liquidate it at retail, which I began in the fall of 1914, September. I got along pretty well with the liquidation until in November we had had some cooler, wet weather, which helped it materially. And I called in the employees and told them what my plan was, that I was going to liquidate the store. And I was going to run a December sale, and then I would run a business quitting sale in January. And I paid every employee a bonus that would justify them staying with me through February. Well, when Christmas came, the stock was down to 1/5 of its inventory as compared with the year before. Without any business quitting sale, I had sold twice as much in December after telling the employees that what I was going to do. And the word began to get out that the store was going to be closed. I sold twice as much from 1/4 the inventory that I had had the previous December. And then I did not have enough merchandise to justify the advertising and the carrying on of the business through January. So I wrote two firms that had indicated an interest in the business and were able to buy, and made them a proposition that I would sell them this stock of merchandise, of one fifth its volume of the year before for 60 cents on the dollar of cost. My cost being 70% of retail. One of those firms answered the following Monday, indicating an interest. And they sent representatives down the following Wednesday. And I closed the deal with them at exactly the same figure that I had made them in this letter, including the pictures. And so, we inventoried the next day, and by 4 o'clock that afternoon, I was paid off. The door had a new lock on it, and I was on the outside. So, then, my wife, Orpha Elkins Browning, was a partner in the Elkins stores, which were established in Yoakum beginning in 1907 with a small saving that Mr. Elkins had. And in 1969, when Mr. Elkins, Mr. Ernest Elkins, Mrs. Browning's brother, had reached their point to where they were not able to devote their time to the business, we liquidated the Elkins chain of 10 small variety stores. And my son, William E. Browning, who came from World War II in 1945 to manage the Elkins stores, was managing them at the time we liquidated them. And so, I'm very proud of the fact that the Brownings and the Elkins had the two leading retail establishments in Yoakum over a period covering up to, half-century or more, and were able to play my son, William E. Browning, in line president of the Yoakum National Bank and take over the management of that institution. The Elgin stores were liquidated and the Elgin stores in 69. William, my son, was taken in to the Yoakum National Bank in preparation to take over the presidency. This course included experience in the bank and two summer courses at Southern Methodist University in Dallas of banking. And upon completion of those courses and his experience in the bank in January of 1970, he was made president of the Yoakum National Bank, which he now holds. Producing 30 to 50,000 bales of cotton in the period 40 or 50 years ago, when it had, Yoakum had six cotton gins, a corn press, and a cotton oil mill. And Yoakum also had production of tomatoes from 300 to 700 cars per season. And it had a canning plant that canned tomatoes, black-eyed peas, and lettuce peas. In place of this canning plant, in place of the canning of tomatoes and etc., it is canning high C drink by shipping tank car loads of concentrated orange juice from Florida to Yoakum to make this icy drink, which it distributes to the area adjacent to Yoakum. And as previously stated, the County Corporation employs 1,500 people that live in this area, 1,000 of them attached to Yoakum. And the establishment of other industries, Yoakum today is back on the higher spot it was 40 or 50 years ago. So that covers 50 years.
Thank you, Mr. Browning, for letting me come into your home to interview you on the history of Yoakum.
Now let's see.
Well, in your...
I say that during this dark period of 1928 through 1932, the population of Yoakum declined by one half. Now it has recovered to where it was before the Depression. Now I might give you this brief history of the Browning Store. It was organized by W.T. Browning in Seymour, Texas, about 400 miles northwest of Yoakum, in 1902, and operated there as a men's clothing store until Mr. Browning moved it to Yoakum. And from then, it has carried on in Yoakum. It first went into a 25-foot building, but was then increased to 50-foot by 100, selling exclusively men's and boys' clothing, hats and shoes. When the dark period came, it was in a pretty bad way. It was a 50 by 140 building filled with men's and boys' clothing, serving a town of which had declined by one half.